maintained that fears and obsessions and other curbs to a fully rational life were due to psychological causes, and that understanding these hitherto uninvestigated causal influences, causal processes, would put men in the position of either losing their effects if they felt their freedom curtailed thereby, or of freely incorporating them in their purposive deliberate activity. Nothing can be shaken off if it is not understood, colon. Freedom is to plan my life in accordance with my own will. Plans entail rules. A rule does not oppress me or enslave me if I impose it on myself or accept it freely, having understood it, comma, even if it is invented by others. Full stop. That is the heart of rationalism. Full stop. And the notion of liberty contained in it, not that of the earlier quote negative unquote notion of a field free from obstacles. No, not a field free from obstacles, of a field without obstacles. Thus, the removal of impediments. Thus, a vacuum in which I can do as I please. Thus, but the notion of self-direction or self-control. I can do what I will with my own. I am rational. Whatever I can demonstrate to myself as being necessary in the sense of incapable of being otherwise in a rational world, dash, in a world directed by rational minds, dash towards goals such as a rational being might have, I do not wish to sweep out of the way. I assimilate it into my substance, as I do the laws of mathematics, of art, of whatever I understand the purpose of, and therefore cannot want otherwise. A socialized form of this belief has taken many contemporary forms. Nationalism, Marxism, Hegelianism, authoritarianism of various types, as well as what has been called totalitarian democracy. To this I shall come in a moment. New paragraph. Meanwhile, it may be as well. No, not it may be as well. Meanwhile, it is perhaps worth remarking that in its individualistic form, the concept of the rational sage, impervious to the slings and arrows of the world, yes, the withdrawal in depth, the escape into the inner citadel of my true self, my rational being, has historically arisen almost always when the external world has proved too tyrannical and unjust. Quote, he is truly free, unquote, said Rousseau, quote, who desires what he can perform and does what he desires, full stop, end of quotes. In a world where a man seeking virtue or justice or freedom, break it, in whatever sense, end of bracket, finds that he can perform little comma, the temptation to withdraw into himself can become irresistible. Full stop. It was so in Greece, where the Stoic ideal cannot be wholly unconnected with the disappearance of the free democracies and the imposition of the Macedonian despotism. It was so for analogous reasons in early Rome, full stop. It was so among the Eastern sages during the great autocracies, at periods when human beings were apt to be humiliated, or at any rate ignored, taken for granted, ruthlessly managed by those who possessed the instruments of physical coercion. Full stop. And it was so in Germany in the 18th century, the period of the deepest national degradation of the small German states, when, for the most part small and governed by petty despots, the external world offered little asylum for those who prized the dignity of human life. For the doctrine, which maintains that what I cannot have, I must teach myself not to want. For to want the impossible is to be frustrated, dash, to be a slave to my unfulfillable desires, dash, is, despite the noble consequences, moral consequences, which the Stoics or Kant and his followers drew from it, in the end, the sublime form of the doctrine of sour grapes, full stop. Those who demanded liberty for the individual or for the nation in France never fell into this attitude, perhaps because, despite the despotism of the French monarchy and the arrogance and irrationality of privileged groups in the French state, France was a proud and powerful nation, where the reality of political power was attainable to men of talent, and where the withdrawal from battle into the untroubled heaven above it, whence it could be surveyed dispassionately by the self-sufficient philosopher, was not the only way out, full stop. New paragraph. I have said that the socialized form of this doctrine is at the heart of the freedom that is discussed or fought for in many quarters today. This is not the place to trace the historical evolution of this situation. Let me give two familiar illustrations. Those, new paragraph, those who believed in freedom as self-direction were doubtless bound to consider, sooner or later, how this was to be applied, not merely to the individual's inner life, but to his relations to other members of his society. Even the most individualist among them, Dash, Rousseau, comma, Kant, comma, and Fichte, F-I-C-H-T, certainly started as individualists, were bound to ask themselves whether and how a not merely a rational life for the individual, but a rational life for society was possible. I wish to be free to live as my rational will wills, semicolon, but so must others be. How am I to avoid collisions? Question mark. Where is the frontier between my rights and the identical rights of others? Bracket. For if I am rational, I cannot deny that what I deserve, others who are rational like me deserve for similar reasons. End of bracket. A rational state would be a state the laws of which would be such that all rational men would accept them, i.e. such laws as they would themselves have promulgated had they been in a position to do so. Semicolon. The frontier would be such as we should all agree, comma, as rational men, comma, was the frontier, was the right frontier for rational beings. But who, in fact, is to decide this, question mark, on the assumption which all these thinkers made, bracket, and their use of the word reason, unquote, led them to it, and to bracket, that moral and political problems, comma, like problems in mathematics or physics or any other sphere, were in principle soluble, dash, i.e. that there was one true solution to any problem as opposed to the many false ones, and that the truth could be discovered by a rational thinker and demonstrated so clearly that all other rational men could not but accept it, break it, as is the case in, say, the natural sciences, and to break it. On that assumption, political problems were soluble by establishing a just order which would give to each man all the freedom that a rational being is entitled to. Full stop. The rational solution of one problem cannot collide with the rational solution of another, for two true solutions cannot be incompatible. Full stop. Therefore, such an order must in principle exist. The ideal state of affairs, sometimes imagined as the paradise before the flood, in which all men lived happily in a state of blessedness together, sometimes as a golden age still before us, in which all men, having become rational, would no longer have desires, passions, or habits which could in principle collide with that which other similarly perfect men could ever demand. Full stop. Next record. In existing societies, justice and equality are ideals which it is necessary to obtain with some measure of coercion, because freedom from social controls might lead to the oppression of the weaker by the stronger, of the stupider by the more energetic or unscrupulous. But it is only irrationality on the part of men, according to this doctrine, end of bracket, which leads them to wish to oppress or exploit or humiliate one another. Rational men will respect the principle of reason in each other and be and lack all desire to fight one another or seek to dominate one another. The desire to dominate is itself irrational and can be explained by rational methods. Hegel explains it in one way, Marx in another, Freud in a yet third way. Some of these can perhaps supplement each other, others are not combinable, full stop. But be that as it may, in a society of perfectly rational beings, the lust for power will be absent. And a rational society will not possess in it anyone desiring to oppress anyone else. The existence of oppression will be the first symptom of the true solution to the social problems, bracket. And it must be remembered that there is one, otherwise a problem is no problem. For all true problems must have solutions, whether they have been discovered or not, end of bracket, has not been reached. This is in effect what 18th century thinkers say. Rousseau tells me that if I freely surrender all the parts of my life to society, I create an entity which, having been built by an equality of sacrifice of all its members, cannot wish to hurt any one of them. Semicolon. It can in such a society be nobody's interest to damage anyone else. Full stop. In giving myself to all, I give myself to no one. Comma. And I get back as much as I lose, together with enough force to preserve my new gains. Full stop. Kant tells me that when the, quote, individual has entirely abandoned his wild, comma, lawless freedom, to find it again, unimpaired, in a state of dependence, according to law, unquote, that is true freedom, quote again, for this dependence is the work of his own will, comma, acting as lawgiver, unquote. Liberty is so far from being incompatible with equality cannot be made actual without it. Hence the Declaration of the Rights of Man and Citizen in 1789 and again in 1793 both speak of the fact that liberty consists, quote, in doing anything which does not conflict with the rights of one's neighbor, unquote. For, quote, the exercise of the natural rights of each individual has no bounds except those which are necessary to ensure the enjoyment of the same rights to the other members of society, unquote. These bounds can be established by any rational man. For any rational man can, in principle, discover the true solution to any problem, but it takes a society of wholly rational men freely to accept this solution as the truth, for only rational men can tell the truth when they meet it. Full stop. The rule of such a state is that what one man can do, all men can do. Thus, if anyone infringes this rule, all men are damaged thereby. If the assumption were correct, there's, if a solution to social problems were like a solution to those of the natural sciences, and if a society of wholly rational men could be conceived, this would no doubt be a true conclusion, full stop. Liberty would coincide with law, full stop. Autonomy would coincide with authority, full stop. Men would be wholly equal and wholly free, comma, wholly rational and wholly just, full stop. This is the ideal of anarchism, full stop. The thinkers who bent their energies to the solution of the problem were presently faced with the question of how men were to be made rational in this way. Clearly, they must be educated, for only the uneducated are irrational, heteronomous, and may need to be coerced to make life possible for the rational if we are to live in the same society with them and not withdraw to some Olympian height. Education, says Fichte quite consistently, works in such a way that, quote, you will later recognize the reasons for what I am doing now, unquote. Children cannot be expected to understand why they are compelled to go to school, comma, nor the uneducated, i.e. the majority of mankind, why they are made to obey laws which will presently make them rational and so retrospectively justify such coercion as they may have suffered. This is the task for the state, full stop. Compulsion is a kind of education. I force you to be protected against smallpox, though you may not wish it. Even Mill is prepared to say that a man may be forcibly prevented from crossing a bridge if there is not time to warn him that it is about to collapse, for he cannot wish to fall into the water. I know your wishes. I, the sage, know your wishes better than you can know them yourself, for you are the victim of your passions, a slave living a heteronomous life, blind, no, purblind, unable to understand your best interest. You want to be a human being. It is the aim of the state to procure this right for you. Compulsion is justified, quote, compulsion is justified by education for future insight, unquote. Just as my reason. Don't say just as my reason. Here are the fatal analogies begin. Just as reason within me, if it is to triumph, must eliminate and suppress my, quote, lower, unquote, instincts, my passions and desires, which render me a slave, so the higher elements in society, dash, be better educated, the more rational. Those who, quote, possess the highest insight of their time and people, unquote, can exercise compulsion to rationalize the irrational sections of society. For by obeying the rational man, we obey ourselves, dash, not indeed as we are, sunk in our ignorance and our passions. Children, afflicted by disease that needs a healer. Wards who need a guardian. But as we potentially are, as we could be, if we were rational. As we are now, if only we would listen to the rational element, which is ex hypothesi within every human being deserving of the name. This is the argument used by every dictator, inquisitor, and bully who seeks for moral justification for his conduct. I must do for men what they cannot do for themselves, and I cannot ask for their permission or consent, because they are in no condition to know what is best for them, and what they will permit and consent to may mean their suicide. Quote, no one has, quote, three dots, rights against reason, unquote. Quote, man is afraid of subordinating his subjectivity to the laws of reason. He prefers tradition or arbitrariness, unquote. Nevertheless, subordinated he must be. For that is the purpose of man on earth, and the only path to true freedom. It is consistent with this to say, as August, A-U-G-U-S-T-E, Comte, C-O-M-T-E, once said, quote, if we do not allow free thinking in chemistry or biology, why should we allow it in morals or politics, question mark, end of quote. Only the truth liberates, and the only way in which I can learn the truth is by doing blindly today what you who know it order me to do, in the conviction that only thus will I rise to your clear vision and be free like you. We have come full circle, for this argument, employed by Fichte and Hegel and all other defenders of authority, is what the Stoic and Kantian ethic protests against most bitterly in the name of the reason of the unoppressed individual following his own light as best he can. The rationalist approach, comma, on the assumption of the single true solution, which the experts alone can determine, leads, therefore, to a platonic authoritarian state, obedient to the directives of the sages. New paragraph. There is another approach, legitimate enough in itself, which can be made to yield a very similar conclusion. Ever since the middle of the 18th century, it has been persistently and with increasing effect asked what is meant by an, quote, individual, unquote. Insofar as I live in society, everything that I do inevitably affects and is affected by what others do. Full stop. Even Mill's distinction between the sphere of private life and that wherein I affect others breaks down under examination. Everything that I do may have effects that deeply affect other human beings, and vice versa. Besides, I am social in a deeper sense than mere interaction. For am I not what I am, comma, to some degree, in virtue of what others think that I am, question mark. Next record. When I ask myself, what I am, and answer, an Englishman, a Frenchman, a Chinese, a carpenter, a respected member of society, a criminal, I find upon analysis that to be an Englishman, or a Chinese, or a criminal, involves me in being recognized as belonging to a particular group or class by other persons in the society in which I live, and that this recognition by them is part of the meaning of the terms in which I describe what appear to be my most personal, most permanent attributes. I am not disembodied reason, semicolon, nor am I Robinson Crusoe, alone upon an island, semicolon. It is not only that my material life depends upon interaction with other men, but that my ideas about myself are intelligible only in terms of the social network in which I am an element. The freedom that a man demands is, as often as not, the desire for recognition, colon. I may be seeking not for what Mill would wish me to seek, namely, freedom from coercion, from arrest, from tyranny, from the deprivation of certain liberties, for, quote, quote, for a vacuum free from human obstruction of this type, semicolon. What I may seek to be saved from is from being taken for granted, from being ignored, patronized, despised, in short, from not being treated as a full human being, from having my existence unrecognized, from being classed as a member of some faceless, featureless, don't say faceless, just say featureless, amalgam, a statistical unit, without identifiable, unique human features of my own. This is the degradation that I am fighting against. Not equality of legal rights, not liberty to do as I wish, bracket, although I may want these two, end of bracket, but for a condition in which I can feel as a responsible agent, as a full human being, even if I am attacked and persecuted for being as I am. This is the hankering after status, colon, for recognition, colon. I desire to be understood, to be recognized, even if to be unpopular and disliked. And the only people who can so recognize me and give me the sense of being fully human, which recognition alone will give, are the members of the society with which I feel bound up, full stop. There is no need to use such similes as those of organism, or growth, or other biological language, in order to convey that in large part what I am is what I see myself as, or feel to be. And that this is literally something which only other people can give me by having certain attitudes towards me, in terms of which I then think of myself as having this or that position in society. Full stop. My individual self is not something which I can detach or abstract from my relationships with others, or from those attributes of myself which consist in their attitude towards me. Consequently, when I demand liberation from the status of dependency, what I demand is alteration of status. The sense in which the members of oppressed classes or nationalities demand what they perfectly correctly describe as their liberty is not, in the first place, simply liberty of action, nor equality of opportunity, but recognition of myself, bracket, or my class, or my nation, or my color, or my race, end of bracket, as an independent source of action, something entitled to direct itself as it wishes, and not to be ruled, educated, guided, with however light a hand, as not quite fully human, and therefore not quite fully free. Full stop. This is why paternalism, in quotes, paternalism is the greatest despotism imaginable, unquote. Not because it oppresses more than naked, brutal, unenlightened tyranny, but because it is an insult to my conception of myself as a human being entitled to make my own life in accordance with my own purposes, and above all, to be recognized as such by others. But if I am not so recognized, then I cannot recognize it fully in myself. For part of what I am is determined by what I feel and think, and what I feel and think is determined by the feeling and thought prevailing in the society to which I belong, of which, in Burke's Burke apostrophe sense, I form not an isolable atomic unit, but an ingredient in what may, without danger of misleading metaphor, be called a social pattern. Full stop. I may feel unfree in the sense of not being recognized as a self-governing human being, comma, as an individual, semicolon. But I may feel it also as a member of a class or a nation, full stop. And then I desire the emancipation of my entire class, or nation, or profession. And since the other members of my nation, while they are all oppressed, recognize me as a full member of themselves, even as I am recognized as a full member of the slave class by the other slaves, comma, I may prefer to be bullied and ordered about by another slave or another member of my oppressed nation to being, well, and wisely treated by someone who belongs to another class or another nation, because I prefer recognition by my brother human being, even if I am misgoverned by him, to non-recognition by someone who I do not feel to be a brother, but a being from another sphere, even if he governs me well, full stop. This is the heart of the demand for recognition on the part of individuals and groups, professions and classes, nations and races. Those to whom I look for it may be the representatives of my class or my profession or my nation. I may not get, quote, negative, unquote, liberty at their hands, and may be headed from pillar to post by them. But they are members of my own group. They understand me and I understand them. And this understanding creates within me the sense of being somebody and not nobody, or half a nobody in the world. It is this that leads the most authoritarian democracies to be preferred by its members to the most enlightened oligarchies, or causes a member of some newly liberated Asian or African state to complain less if he is unjustly imprisoned by his own, or by members of his own race or nation, than if he were ever so lightly displaced by some cautious, benevolent, infinitely well-meaning administrator from outside. Full stop. Perhaps the proper term for this is not liberty but fraternity, but as words are used, it is liberty that such individuals and groups demand. This is liberty in the positive sense of self-direction. And the perversions of the meaning of the word, which occur when fallacious analogies are made between reason, which directs the lower emotions in the individual, and the governing elite, which has a similar right to despotic rule over the quote lower unquote members of a society. These very fallacies are intelligible only on the assumption that one of the central meanings of the word liberty is self-direction, whether by a man over himself or by a society over itself, or by a group. No. Don't say over a society over itself, or by a group, over its members. This alone makes it possible for men to call for leaders and claim that this is, in some sense, liberates them. It is a shallow view that assumes that the analogies between a person and a nation, or organic metaphors. Or several senses of the word liberty are simply fallacies. Either of comparing entities which are fundamentally